Amen. Today, I'm going to have a little help in reading Scripture. Y'all know I sometimes can destroy these names. So I've asked BJ to read some passages. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. And let me just say that the name of my message today is The Very Best in You. The Very Best in You. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. This is the story of Hannah. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say oh me. Okay, we'll give you a couple more minutes. 1 Samuel 1, 1. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask, Lord, that you would come now. And just illuminate your word. Cause it, Lord God, to be life. Cause it, Lord God, to jump off the page and into our hearts in such a way, Lord, that we receive what it is that you're saying to us in these passages of Scripture. Lord, let it be done that it might bring glory and honor to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm going to try not to murder them, too. Okay, 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 2, 1. There was a man named Elkanah from the Zupa family who lived in Ramah, the hill country of Ephraim. Elkanah was the son of Jeroham, the son of Eluhu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupa, from the tribe of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives. One wife was named Hannah, and the other wife was named Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah did not. Skip down to verse 6. Peniah always upset Hannah and made her feel bad because the Lord had not made her able to have children. This happened every year when their family went to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Peniah would upset Hannah so much that she would begin to cry and would not eat anything. One year when this happened, her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? You have me. Isn't that better than having even 10 sons?" Hannah's prayer, verse 9. After eating and drinking, Hannah quietly got up and went to pray to the Lord. Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair near the door of the Lord's holy building. Hannah was so sad that she cried the whole time she was praying to the Lord. She made a special promise to God and said, "Lord, all-powerful, you can see how sad I am. Remember me. Don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him to you. He will be yours his whole life as a Nazarite. He will not drink wine or strong drink, and no one will ever cut his hair." Hannah prayed to the Lord a long time. Eli was washing her mouth while she was praying. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but since she did not say the words out loud, Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, "You have had too much to drink. It is time to put away the wine." Hannah answered, "Sir, I have not drank any wine or beer. I am deeply troubled, and I was telling the Lord about all my problems. Don't think I'm a bad woman. I've been praying so long because I have so many troubles and am very sad." Eli answered, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel give you what you've asked for." Hannah said, "May you be happy with me." She left and ate something. She was not sad anymore. Early the next morning, Elkanah's family got up. They worshiped the Lord, and they went back home to Ramah, Samuel's birth. Elkanah had sexual relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered Hannah. By that time the following year, Hannah had become pregnant and had a son. She named him Samuel. She said, "His name is Samuel because I have asked the Lord for him. God has heard." When the boy was old enough to eat solid food, Hannah took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. She also took a bull that was 3 years old, 20 pounds of flour, and a bottle of wine. Verse 25. They went before the Lord. Elkanah killed the bull as a sacrifice to the Lord, as he usually did. Then Hannah gave the boy to Eli. She said to him, "Pardon me, sir. I am the same woman who stood near you praying to the Lord. I promise that I am telling the truth. I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer. He gave me this child. And now I give this child to the Lord. He will serve the Lord all of his life." Then Hannah left the boy there and worshiped the Lord.
Amen. This is a powerful story, and more than just what we obviously see when we read it. If we look deeper within this story, we realize it's actually very powerful in all that is being said here. When we look, she was desperate. She was hurting. How many of you know that been hurting in your life and you've been desperate in your life and you wanted God to do something? Okay. Hers was that she was barren and didn't have a child. But I think there's been times that all of us have been barren in some way in our life where it wasn't just about a child. It was about wanting God to do something. It was about wanting to move on to a different place in life. It was about getting over something. Lots of things happen. But I believe that it comes down to one thing, her desperation. And let me, everybody look at me for a moment. Don't confuse desperation with feeling sorry for yourself. Don't confuse desperation with the fact that you want something for your life. Desperation is wanting what God wants in your life. And that's what this is all about. This is about what did God want in her life. And she painted a picture with her crying out to the Lord, so much so that the prophet thought she was drunk. Okay? So she was very emotional in her presentation and her desire to God. She was not just being quiet. She was not just doing some little prayer. It said she prayed a long time. It said that she was hounded. How many of you know it'd be hard living in the same house with another wife in the first place? Okay? I have to wonder about him. Some of those guys in the Old Testament, like, what was they thinking? It's hard enough for me to please one woman, much less two. She's not even laughing. But when we look at this, she was barren, and Peninnah, is that her name? I think that's what her name. Peninnah? Peninnah. 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 Okay, I told you I'd destroy it. That woman, she didn't like Hannah. Have you ever been around people in life that didn't like you? And they felt like it was important that they make your life bitter because they don't like you? When we look at Hannah, she was apparently a very tender-hearted, hungry for God type of woman. She wasn't an ugly, malicious type of person. She seems to be the type of woman that I think that all of us in life, not me as being a woman, but wanted to be that way, the word, she cared about people. So much so that she didn't retaliate. You didn't see her retaliating back. You saw her crying out to God. Most of us need to learn how to cry out to God and not retaliate. Because when we retaliate, we've taken it out of God's hands and put it into ours. I don't know about you, but I think the best place for somebody that doesn't like me to be is not in my hands, but in the hands of God. God didn't call me to be vengeful. He didn't call you to be vengeful. Matter of fact, He said vengeance is His. So we have to learn to be Christ-hearted. We have to learn to have a heart like Christ. When she prayed, she cried out to God. She said, Lord, remember me. Do you think God forgot her? No, but just like David did over and over again in the Psalms, he would cry out over and over again, Lord, have you forgotten me? Hear me in my despair. Don't cast me away. Don't do these things. Lord, remember me. Now let me explain something, what's happening here. Desperation is what you're seeing in Hannah and what you're seeing in David and all those places. It's a desperation of crying out to God, God, I need you to move in my circumstance. I need you, and you alone can change this. Like I said earlier, when we look at the Old Testament, we see how God sacrificed, the people sacrificed to God and all that happened. We know that it paints a picture that God is not coming near until we learn to die to self. She said, don't forget me. I will give you, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Think about how unselfish that is. Here she is, she's wanted a child all of her life. And she's saying, God, if you'll give me this child, I'll give this child back to you. That's a picture of Christ, y'all. If we would learn to be unselfish in life, because guess what God did afterwards? He didn't just give her a child. After this child, he gave her five more children. And this child, when there was no open word of God, hardly at all in this time, this young man wound up being the one that heard God as a young man. Under the priest, when he's studying, and God would speak, guess what he did? He'd go into the priest and he'd say, well, here am I. And he'd say, I didn't say nothing to you, boy. Go back to bed. This happened three different times. So she got to be part of the fact that her sacrifice, not only did it touch her life, but it touched the whole nation. We have got to get to the place that we're willing to let God's purpose and plan and destiny for our life be what we want, not just what He wants. Because guess what? You don't know what God's destiny totally is for your life. You know He wants you to be a Christian. You know He wants you to be dedicated. You know that He wants you to do certain things, but you don't know all the details of what He wants to do in your life. You could be a young man, a young woman, like Samuel, and God wound up using you so powerful, you don't know that until it happens. He could have probably, when we look at his life, why didn't my mama give me away? Why did she take me to the temple? But you noticed every year she, I don't know if you've ever read the story, I'll just kind of fill you in. Every year she would take him a coat, a robe. Every year she'd bring him a new one. Every year she'd connect with him again. Don't you know it was hard on her? Don't you know it was extremely hard on her to give that child up and every year have... He would have been either just walk away and forget him. But every year to go back and be there as a mom, be there as a woman of God, to encourage him to be all that God had called him to be. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever been full of frustration or disappointment? Ever had hopelessness in your life and despair? Let me just tell you that all these things have many causes. Hopelessness has many causes. The frustration, the disappointment, they can all have different... Maybe you have these because you've had a friendship that's gone sour. A door maybe has suddenly been slammed shut in your life. An expectation that you had that didn't come to pass. Maybe there was a peaceful place that suddenly became a war zone in your life. Maybe there was that place in your life that you felt peace and comfort, and all of a sudden that peace and comfort was gone, and that place that you so often found that peace is now a war zone. And maybe there was a time in your life that there was a love that turned to hate. When we look at life, or maybe a sudden healthy relationship that had gone dry and lifeless. That used to be a very healthy relationship in your life. A trust that eventually betrayed you. I bet you I've hit somebody in here through all of that. See, the good news is that you're not alone. Hannah was enjoying the status quo in life. Her husband, he loved her. He loved her more than he did his other wife. And he would give her double portions as they would go. But then finally she comes face to face with jealousy. Irritation. Competition. All that was raised up in her life. Maybe you've been in a place where you thought everything was going great, you're just living life, and then all of a sudden these things started coming up. Maybe it was not because your husband married the two wives, but because something else. Maybe it was a job issue. Maybe it was a ministry thing. Maybe it was something else that caused you to start seeing life in a very different way. See, I don't know your situation today, but in Hannah's life, she was facing the reality of barrenness. The thought of the barrenness stole all of her joy and the meaning of life for her. She couldn't go on because her husband even tried to make jokes. Am I better than 10 children? He was trying to make light of it. He was trying to tell her, hey, I'm here for you. I love you. Guys, have we ever made jokes and tried to make it light for our wife and it was like, this is not going like you want it to. Right? I know I have. Never done anything like that. When you look that her meaning of life was and joy were gone. But see, God used the impossible situation to get Hannah's attention. To get Hannah to a place of realizing that she needed God. See, maybe something's happened in your life that's brought you to a place that you realize that it's an impossible situation. And because it's impossible, the only one that's going to be able to fix it or change it or do anything about it is the impossible God. So just maybe, God has allowed you to come to this walk in life so that one, you'll realize He's the only one that can change it. See, God doesn't want to play second fiddle to you or me or anybody else, just like He didn't want to in Hannah's life. See, God created us for a purpose. Everybody look at me for a moment. Do you realize that God created you for a purpose and a destiny? That's not just a good saying. There is a purpose and there is a destiny for each and every person's life that's in this room right now. See, if maybe you have a sickness that's incurable, let me just say this. You need God. You don't need something else. If you're in that situation, you need a God of the impossible. Okay? When maybe you're at a place of in your situation, it's beyond your control. You can't control it. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do in life to change it. Guess what? You need God of the impossible because He can. Maybe you need God in all the circumstances in your life, and you need the God of the impossible in all these circumstances in your life. But you got to see God that way. In just a moment, I'm fixing to do something I hadn't done probably in a long time, or I may not have ever done it. But when we look at these places in life and we see that maybe there's something in your life that's going on and you feel the same longing as Hannah. Maybe she's beautiful and lovely, but her life is barren. I'm just giving you some scenarios here. Maybe she has a beautiful house, but her life is barren. Maybe she has a loving husband, but her life is barren. And I'm not talking just about children. How about you? Where are you at in life? You may be rich, but are you happy? You may be serving God, but are you doing all that you can do? You may be attending church, but do you feel like that you're spiritually fulfilled? You may be saved, but how about your family and friends? See, the question is, where are we at in life? Today's a message of self-examination like Hannah. Maybe you're saved and satisfied, but you're barren. Maybe you're giving your tithes, but Nothing seems to ever really be like Scripture said it should. Maybe you're singing praise songs and hymns, but you're barren. There's no spiritual fruit or growth in your life. In closing, maybe you're preaching like me, the best message, the best sermon, but are you barren? See, just because you can do certain things doesn't mean that you're fruitful. Just because you're doing certain things doesn't mean that you have the spiritual fulfillment that you need to have in your life. See, a lot of people can do things, but are they doing it spiritually? Maybe you have physical children, but are you spiritually barren? Do you have spiritual children? See, I'm asking that question. I'm asking you, are you desperate like Hannah? Are you hearing God? Just like Samuel came to the place that after he was born and grew up a little bit, God started speaking to him, so much so that he got up and he went and talked to Eli and said, "Here am I, your servant." He said, "I didn't say that to you." In a time when God wasn't speaking just to everybody. What I want to do right this moment, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. I don't want you moving around. I don't want you looking around. This is not just about somebody else that's in this room. It's about you. It's about me. For a moment, I want you to focus on God and God alone. I want you to ask God in yourself, "Lord, remember me. Lord, don't forget me." And God, I want you to do something spiritual in my life. I need you to cause me to have something spiritual birthed in me. I'm going to pray over you for a minute. And then we're going to be quiet for just a moment as Mark plays. And I'm going to ask you to do something then. As you feel like that God is speaking to you and you're hearing what God is saying, and I'm going to ask you to stand up one at a time as that happens. Not just yet. See, today's about hearing God, not about going through the motions. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know that in my personal life, I am so desperate for you, Lord. I am desperate for a move of your Spirit. Lord, I am completely frustrated, just like so many in here. God, with the enemy destroying and defeating people's lives. And Lord, we're in a place that we're desperate for you, and we need a God of the impossible. But Lord, I know that we need to hear you, and we need to hear you now, today. Lord, you said, "My sheep know my voice." And God, you said you're not a respecter of persons. Lord, you spoke to Samuel. God, in a time when words from you were far and few between, God, I'm asking for you to speak to us today. I'm asking you to speak to every desperate and broken heart in here, including mine, Lord. God, that we would not leave here. We would not walk out of these doors without there be a spiritual awakening within us. Without there being a move of your Spirit that shakes us out of our complacency. Lord, we're crying out to you with our desperation. We're crying out to you, Lord, saying, "Have your way." We're just going to let the Lord speak. Hear him talk to you. And as you feel like God has spoken to you, and not before then, not because you feel like that's what you're supposed to do, but as you feel like he's spoken to you, I want you to just stand up, and we're all going to just wait. We're not going to be in a hurry. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that you said, give us what we need, the words of life. God, you would order our steps. You would hear our cry. Lord, I pray that not one of us would walk out of here today without knowing you're attentive to the things that we need in life.